This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, me, Matt Beadle, with, dare I say it, the topless voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
You are welcome, Matthew. You're more than welcome.
So let's just explain why you're topless and what this podcast will proceed to be.
Yeah, that wasn't intentional, I'll be honest. Well, I wasn't topless, was I? And then, it's quite a boring story, but basically, in order for us to record this, I have to use two phones, one to record, one to see your handsome face. I realised the one that was recording had no battery, so I've had to quickly charge it. I'm in a big rush today, so I've decided to go and have a quick shower. Of course, having had the shower, I'm a little bit hot, so I need to dry. So, I'm not just topless. You can only see my top half, which is the joy of this situation. But yeah, I need to dry before I end up heading out of the house. So I've been rushing about so that we can squeeze this podcast in, which is a big podcast. The final podcast for a little while, right?
The final podcast for a little while, yes. We haven't confirmed nor denied whether we are going to do between the Euros, which we've had fun doing in the past, haven't we? Covering the World Cup, covering the Euros, covering a lot of goalkeepers that we often don't speak about on the podcast. But because of scheduling, because of timing, it might be tricky this year. We'll see how we go. But for now, yes, this is the final official between the sticks of the English league season.
Indeed, indeed. We'll make sure it's a good one.
I'm on the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, so just three games really to cover off, Richard. The first of those being the FA Cup final, which took place at Wembley on Saturday afternoon. Manchester City 1, Manchester United 2. What a contest this was. Big moments involving both goalkeepers. We shall start with Stefan Ortega, the opening goal scored by Alejandro Garnacho.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's funny. I did think after all the plaudits, and rightly so, that he got back into the season, certainly the Spurs game, even the final game, I thought he was excellent. You just wonder, coming into a game like this, and there's been a lot spoken about him, whether that changes anything. Mentally, where, of course, he's been stepping in and there's maybe very little or not as much expectation. Suddenly, expectation changes. I do wonder whether that plays any part of this. I mean, look, ultimately, it's one moment. And the moment is ball comes over the top and you can see what he's got in mind, which is he believes he can come and get it. Ideally, in that situation, the defender would block off the attacker and you'd be able to then chest the ball or head the ball, do whatever you need to do. However, I would say I don't think he needs to get involved here. And I think he probably knows that himself too. The fact that it was effectively a 50-50 between the defender and attacker, that's one of those moments for a goalkeeper. You just scan the situation, you realize the ball's going to be outside the box, you're not going to be able to pick it up. So that is one that ordinarily you would then stay quite deep, let them tussle it out, and then you decide what you do thereafter. But I think the moment he's decided to come, the big thing then is communication. Now, look, he's in Wembley Stadium. For all we know, he could have screamed and shouted. He might not have got heard, but that is one where you would be asking the defender, hold him off, keeper's ball, whatever it is that you say in that moment, in order to then take control of the situation. But it was a tough moment. We see it over and over where there is that mix-up, the player heads it back past the goalkeeper, and it's the easiest of finishes. But I feel for him a bit because, as I say, he was brilliant, I thought, back into the season. Certainly a massive reason as to why they won the league. But I know that he'll have left this day feeling disappointed.
Two moments from Andre Onana. Really excited to hear your opinion on these. The first one was the save from Kyle Walker.
Really good save. Really good, I thought. Gets himself in a good set position. It's a strong strike. It's going pretty much right in the corner, you'd say. Very explosive. Gets a strong hand to it. Thought this was an excellent save.
Is it an excellent save?
Go on.
So it is a very good save, and on first glance, it looks like it's an incredible save. But is there something, and we've seen this occasionally throughout the season with Andre Onana, is there something with his starting position, perhaps, that then maybe makes it look more emphatic than it should do?
It's a good question. I could sense from your initial question it was a loaded question to get my thoughts. I could sense that. We're not necessarily talking about the technical aspect, because we will talk about the technical aspect for the goal that he conceded. And I think this has been maybe a question mark throughout the season, really, in that he obviously does have a very different technique to a lot of the goalkeepers that you see. He's quite unorthodox in a lot of what he does. That being said, and I know people will then reel out the stats that his XG is as strong as it is, ordinarily he does find a way of getting the job done, but he is prone to more errors than others, because certainly textbook goalkeeping, he wouldn't be textbook goalkeeping at all. So I think the way in which he does exploit, and you see this a lot, even shots that maybe go closer to him, in and around him, it is like a bomb's gone off, you know. And again, I don't mind it, because I think, and again, speaking from personal experience, you get yourself into a position where you are ready to explode. It's like that coiled spring where you're ready to go full out. And sometimes when it comes in and around you, you're so pent up and ready to go that you do just do that. Even if it is a shot around the face or just above the head, the whole body goes with it. So I don't mind it. I think with this one, he's actually made it reasonably comfortably in the end. The reason I say it's an excellent save is I think this shot against a lot of goalkeepers certainly is one that can go in. You know, it's a very firm strike. It is going in the corner. Similarly, I think he gets there with quite a bit of ease in the end, given the amount of power that he's got.
Okay, interesting. I just thought those types of efforts, sometimes I think as a goalkeeper, you're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, right? In that we hate to use it, but a save like that, from my view, is that's his job. Like he should be saving that. We're going to use a cliche. I mean, you just said there that some goalkeepers concede it. Maybe they do. I don't think that they do. I don't know. I just think if that does go in, then everyone's saying that's a goalkeeping error. So yes, a good save, and that's what he's there for. But I don't think it was as extraordinary as first was made out. But hey, I could be wrong.
I'll agree with that. Maybe not as extraordinary as the initial reaction. Although I didn't realise I was now doing the podcast with Roy Keane. That's his job. Wow. I never thought that would come out of your mouth.
But you know what I mean? I'm not saying that's his job. I'm saying to coin a cliche like they use. I think if you're going to use that term, that there is a perfect example to use it.
Yeah, I think I agree in that on second glance, you look back. And again, by the way, on second glance, super slow motion, etc., it does look a bit more emphatic watching it first time round. You watch it again, and certainly a save that, yeah, he's obviously very capable of making, and he does. But I still don't think that takes it away from the category of being an excellent save, because, again, it's something we'll never know. And this is the beauty of goalkeeping, that we can't then recreate that moment with 100 different goalkeepers and see how many it beats. But I think to get himself in the right position, positionally, I thought he was perfect in that moment, to explode to his left in the way he does, get there with a big firm hand. The parry's good as well. It goes, obviously, out of play. So I just thought, in terms of that moment, that sequence of play, I thought that he did everything and more that he should have done.
Thoroughly enjoyed his distribution throughout in this one, actually. Really direct on many occasions. And towards the end, the up and unders that he was just launching into the air, I thought were great. Like properly straight on, just launching them high into the air to see that time down. I thought that was really enjoyable. The first goal, the Manchester City goal, scored by Jeremy Doku. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, this isn't something he'll be overly happy with, and we touched on it there. That's why we'll go into a bit more detail on this in terms of the technique. But we've seen a few of these over the season with Onana where he isn't as secure as perhaps he could be on situations like this, where positionally, I think he's fine. He gets a step in, gets a dive away, gets there quite comfortably, and for me, it's a couple of bits. It's the body position where, you know, perhaps slightly on his front. I think that he doesn't quite obviously get the two hands to it in the way that he should. You actually see it at the point of impact. The point the ball reaches him, you know, his hands aren't in a great position. So, yeah, I think it's one that the goalkeeper coaches will no doubt be speaking to him about this, and he'll know himself. And you can see the disappointment instantly, where it's not an easy one in that these are a bit horrible when they kind of bobble towards you in the way that it has. You know, it's not a clean strike. It's kind of, you know, pitched two or three times before it gets to him. So they can be a little bit tricky. But of course, on Wembley, there's very few divots, if any. So it's always quite a true flight. You can predict where it's going. I think he saves this 9 times out of 10, but it is just a slight technical tweak that's needed.
Okay, moving on to the Scottish Cup final. Just a quick one. Celtic 1, Rangers 0. Firstly, foul or no foul on Joe Hart?
Yeah, foul. I mean, was this even questioned again? I need to ask you, because I didn't watch this game. I've just seen the footage, but was it questioned?
Not really. I mean, most of the commentators were saying that it was a foul, but it went to VAR, didn't it?
Yeah, I did see that. And do you know what? It was, I felt for Joe Hart in this situation, because that is every goalkeeper's worst nightmare. I mean, how many people were in the 6-yard box? You know, I haven't seen it that crowded for quite some time. Must have been 10, 12 people. Again, this is where, you know, the pleaser is VAR, because if this was given and you see a clear shove in the back and the momentum that Joe Hart has with it, and I know we say it before, it doesn't take a lot. If you're going to go and try and punch the ball, which he was in that situation, it doesn't take a lot of contact for you to miss a punch. And sometimes the players or the strikers will get away with it when it's subtle. But yeah, this wasn't particularly subtle. This was a big push in the back.
and the winner scored by Adam Eder. Jack Butland initially parried the effort from Paolo Bernardo. Really good season for Jack Butland, player of the year at Rangers. But what did you make of this one?
Yeah, really felt for him. Really felt for him because it's a firm strike. I don't think you've got much chance in hold. The bit that kills him is, and I've had this happen to me before, where when it's struck, it's going to his right hand side. So you start to move. The ball then comes back slightly, which means that it's slightly inside him by the time he's saving it. So it's really difficult to try and parry it into the area. So in that moment, whether he's tried to hold it, whether he's just accepted that he's just trying to get something on it. And of course, when there's only one player there following up, it's going to be an easy finish. I mean, you look at it and think, what could you have done differently? The difficult thing is that the moment it's struck, you do start to move to your right hand side. If the ball's behind you, unless you've got the ability to parry it almost the way you're going, like shovel it across with you, you can't really parry it the other way. You know, maybe get more of a parry so it goes a bit, even if it goes back into play, there's a bit more power on it and you might miss the man. But again, this is all happening in a split second, you know, less than a second to make that kind of decision. So in a perfect world, it probably is that one that as he starts to go to his right, he's able to maneuver his hands in such a way that he can get the parry out wide. But it's such a difficult technique. And when you've only got a split second, as I say, it's one of the toughest things to do.
And finally, the Championship playoff final. Leeds nil, Southampton 1. A few solid saves from Alex McCarthy in this one, but the moment I enjoyed the most was in injury time. Right at the end of injury time, he's come and collected a free kick, I think, or a corner, and launched it clear with his fist.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed his performance, full stop. I thought, like you say, that was a lovely moment to cap off just a really, really solid display. I enjoyed his interview afterwards as well because, and he made the point, you know, football's so funny, how quickly things can change. You know, it was only a few weeks ago that he was effectively third choice goalkeeper. Now roll on a few weeks, he's played the back end of the season, solid into the season, done brilliantly in the playoffs, big victory over Leeds, clean sheet at Wembley, and now he goes into the summer and again, his stock is very high. And I think as well, it's one where, you know, certainly where he wasn't in the team, Gavin Bazunu has obviously played the majority of the season and on the whole had a very solid season. That's where his experience has really shown to step in and be as calm as he is anyway. He's just a calm goalkeeper, but to be as calm in the final where, yeah, look, it's a crazy environment, crazy atmosphere, and he just looked like they weren't even there. You know, he looked so solid throughout. Decision-making was good. And when you need him in the last minute to come for a ball like that, again, what that does to the team, just the amount of confidence that will give everybody around him. I thought he was excellent. And again, just a nice little reminder from him as to what he offers.
Okay, Richard, as it is the final between the sticks of the campaign, we're going to do a bit of a GKU review of the Premier League, the Championship, League One and League Two. Okay, so I'm going to rattle through some stats and then you're going to just remark on them. And then we are both going to give our goalkeepers of the season in those respective leagues.
Okay.
So we'll start in the Premier League. Most clean sheets, as we know, David Raya was 16. The most saves, Andre Onana, 146 in 38 games. Also had the highest save percentage too, Onana, at 74.9%. Second most saves was Thomas Kaminski, 140 in 38 games. Both of those ever-presence this season. There were five in total, but Leno, Jordan Pickford and Guglielmo Vicario, the others. 40 goalkeepers were used in total in the Premier League. Loris Karius, James Shea and Remy Matthews, the goalkeepers earning just that one appearance. Eight penalties saved and three missed from 107 awarded.
Well, there you go. They are some stats, aren't they, Matt? Very, very good. Very interesting. Do you know what? A couple of bits that stood out for me there. I mean, yeah, crazy really that Man United, I know this has been touched upon, but that Onana had the highest number of saves in the Premier League. You know, do you know what Edison's number of saves was, out of curiosity? Is that part of your stats pack? No? But I'd be really curious because, again, you know, a lot's been said about, I suppose, Manchester United in general. But this is where, like we touched on earlier in the pod, where there have been a few moments for Onana. But again, I talk a lot about law of averages. You know, when you're facing that many shots throughout a season, the fact that his save percentage is high is a big credit to him, given the number of shots that he's faced. So on the whole, you know, it has to go down as a very successful season for him. The bit that obviously hasn't helped him is when there have been errors, there have been quite high profile ones, and I suppose the fact that United are shown on TV as much as they are, but I thought that was a fascinating stat. 40 goalkeepers used is interesting as well. You know, and I think that's the one where you see a lot of goalkeepers might have a choice of being maybe a two in the Premier League or a one in the Championship, but it just shows that, again, law of averages, there's a very good chance you're going to get some Premier League game time, even if you go in that two role. And lastly, and I've said this a lot, and this actually, I'm glad you've given this stat because it proves my point that penalties now are too heavily weighted in the attacker's favour. And while penalties are as easy to get as they are, I mean, that's wild. 100 and, what was it, 107, did you say? So that's essentially each team getting, what, three penalties a season? No, I don't know if I've got that wrong or right. No, it's more than that. No, it's five or six penalties a season. So when you actually think of that, it's so easy now, or so much easier now, to get a penalty. And the fact that the save percentage is around 10%, give or take, 9 out of 10 penalties are going to get scored, which just isn't right.
56 saves from 82 shots on target for Edison.
Is that right? Yeah. So even that, you know, 82 shots on target, 56 saves, you know, he's had a fraction to do what Onana's had to do. So, of course, there's going to be more big saves in there. There's going to be more tough moments in there.
We'll just do the passes and touches as well amongst some crossing and PSXG. So the highest number of attempted passes, this doesn't include goal kicks. Bernd Leno at 1,372. He only misplaced three of his 913 short passes. And if you jumble that 913, you get 193, which is the most a goalkeeper threw this season. That was Guglielmo Vicario, who did make the most accurate short passes too, at 1,062. James Trafford had the highest average distance achieved on goal kicks at 54.2 yards. He also amassed 1,735 touches. Now that puts him sixth on the list, but in 10 or so less games than those above him. Mark Flecken was top with 1,795. So that's only 60 more than Trafford, who you would imagine would have been out clear had he played instead of Aaron Murich towards the end of the season for Burnley. Pickford, Vicario, Leno and Onana were sandwiched in between Flecken and Trafford. If we go to crossing, Andre Onana faced the highest number of crosses at 601. So 40 of those were claimed or punched clear. That's only 6.7%. However, it might seem low, but he's only five behind the top two of Jose Sarr and Emi Martinez. Mark Flecken was third at 44, either claiming or punching. Onana, interestingly, was just under double of David Raya, who had the same outcome with 40 claimed. He also had the highest claim percentage at 12.2%. That was just ahead of Emi Martinez, Matt Turner and Edison on 10.1%.
Yeah, again, quite interesting. Got to give you credit where it's due. Interesting stat. And actually, I like that one in regards to David Raya, because it's funny, you know, we talk a lot, and this is more of a general belief, normally amongst managers, where they want that 6'5" goalkeeper in goal, and a lot of it will be, because they'll be strong aerially. Well, look, greatest respect, David Raya, I believe, is probably the shortest goalkeeper in the Premier League. I think he's about 6'1", I think. There might be one or two, maybe Jordan Pickford in and around him as well. But the fact that he's coming for that number of crosses, the percentage is as high as it is, it kind of dispels that myth a bit. Also, going back to law of averages, where maybe there's been a comment or two where he's come and not got a cross. Of course, the more crosses you're going to come for, the more chance there is that there's going to be one or two that aren't particularly successful. But no, very interesting.
And finally, PSXG and sweeper keeping. So PSXG, Richard, PSXGA, should say. Who do you think was top in the Premier League for this?
Well, you know, I mentioned Onana before, so I'm probably going to stick with Onana. He's got to be top three.
You're going to be surprised.
Go on.
Top of the pile was Jose Sarr with plus 8.9. It was then Emi Martinez at plus 6.8. Aaron Murich was up there, plus 6.7, obviously only 10 games. And then if we look at the bottom of the pile, you've got Ivo Gerbic, again, a small sample size, only 8.5 games at minus 8.3. Mark Flecken at minus 7.6. And then you have Jason Steele, Matt Turner, Georgi Petrovic, Sam Johnston and James Trafford, all minus 5.9 and higher. In the negatives, interestingly, you also have David Raya, minus 2.6, and Alisson, minus 0.3. And when it comes to sweeper keeping, Guglielmo Vicario, top of the pile there, again, with 81 actions outside of his penalty area. Although I think the majority of them were in that game against Chelsea early in the season. You then have Thomas Kaminski at 76, Emi Martinez at 69, Pickford, Ray and Edison just below that. Right at the other end, Alphonse Areola, only 7 actions outside his penalty area in the 30 games that he played.
Yeah, again, interesting. And this, you know, we talk about this a lot on the pod, don't we? Different types of goalkeepers, different styles, suiting different types of teams. That doesn't surprise me at all in regards to Vicario. You know, it's one of the things that I think a lot of people looking at him will say, like, he's such a proactive goalkeeper. And again, talking about law of averages, you talk about the different types of mistakes that a goalkeeper can make or be associated with, you know, whether it's a cross that they don't collect, whether it's coming for a through ball and someone gets there before them. Again, law of averages will count against you from time to time in that when you do play, you like Vicario, and I like it when goalkeepers do. That's something that I like. Again, it's not for every team, but when they are that far advanced, they are that sweeper keeper, you know, how many things you can cut out at source. And yeah, he's certainly a goalkeeper that's in that mold, and that doesn't surprise me. The Jose Sarr one does, I'll be honest. The XGA. So was it XG? I should know.
PSXGA.
PSXGA. Yeah, post that does surprise shot, yeah. me a little bit. Again, you know, on the whole, solid season from certainly what I've seen. And yeah, to be that high. Again, it's still one that I think, and again, the goalkeeping stats are improving all the time, I think, but it is still one where I was having a conversation with a goalkeeper the other day on this, and I think it can be skewed sometimes. And this particular goalkeeper said to me that his highest ever ranking for that, and he was like a +3 or something for the game, he said was genuinely one of the easiest games he's ever played. But it just so happened they had 3 or 4 headers from within the 6-yard box that they duffed or, you know, just sort of fell into his arms. He didn't have to make a single save the whole game, yet has come out with a +3. So I think it can still be warped in that it's not necessarily built on each individual situation on its merits. You know, sometimes there will be a time when a goalkeeper has absolutely zero chance of making the save, and yet they've got a -1 for it because of it being 30 yards out, whatever it might be. But fascinating nonetheless.
And your goalkeeper of the season in the Premier League, Richard?
Ah, tough one. This is a tough one. And I do think there's a little bit of bias here in the fact that I just really like him. So I'm going to give it to Emi Martinez, will be the one that I go for. I think Villa, you know, fantastic season for them to make the Champions League. I just, there are certain goalkeeping. This is just, again, it's a personal feeling. It's not necessarily given some impressive stats in regards to him there, but it is just more, I go back to goalkeepers in the past as well that you watch and you just feel like they've got this. They're so under control, everything they do, you know, so much confidence, sometimes even overspilling when it comes to Martinez. But yeah, I just think he's been fantastic again and keeps kicking on.
Interesting. Think I will plump for Jordan Pickford.
Do you know what? And actually, he would have been a close second for me. I'll give you that. Because I think that, and again, where they are on the table, maybe not as much made of it. And actually, funnily enough, the game that I went to maybe wasn't his finest away at Chelsea when they lost 6-0 and he had a tough moment when he came out for, oh, went to play one. And I think it was Cole Palmer that scored from distance. So that's maybe skewed my opinion ever so slightly, which is poor from me because it is only one game. But yeah, the amount of saves again that he's made this season, just really, really solid. And it was interesting going into this season where there might have been a question mark. Well, there's always a question mark or two because with the Euros coming up, you know, what happens if Aaron Ramsdale plays and has a big season? Nick Pope, obviously in the run, Dean Henderson and all these other, James Trafford, all these others that you just don't know. They go and have a fantastic season. Will they then displace Jordan Pickford? But I think what he's done once again is really more than ever solidified that spot as England's number one.
Yep, indeed. And I just feel, I think what clinched it for me was the fact that he just turned up when he needed to turn up for Everton this season. Just thought he was very, very good. We'll go on to the Championship. Most clean sheets was Ian Melier with 19 in 43. Most saves, Victor Johansson. No surprises there, 177 in 45 games. John Ruddy, 150 in 44. And Carl Rushworth with 143 in 46. So Vaslav Hladký was seventh in that list with 114. He was also way out in front for sweeper keeping. 105 defensive actions outside of his box. Next was Mads Hermansson on 77. So quite the gulf between one and two there. Hladký also had the shortest average pass length at 25.4 yards. That's not including goal kicks. Going back to the amount of saves made, Ian Melier with 83 in 44. That puts his save percentage at 67.8%. That's 19th in the rankings. And Matija Sarkic, 69 in 32. The highest save percentage was Bradley Collins, 76.5 in 28 games. Then it's Max O'Leary on 75%, Mads Hermansson on 73.4%, and Michael Cooper on 72.6%. tournament. Only 19 games for a slightly smaller sample size. There were four ever-presents in the championship. Rushworth, O'Leary, Kladke and Alex Palmer. 51 goalkeepers were used. 97 penalties were awarded. 16 saved, 9 missed. Of the 7 taken against Palmer, only 3 were scored. In terms of the longest average length of goal kicks, that one goes to Freddie Woodman at 62.1 yards. Outside of goal kicks, he had the second highest launch percentage in his passes. That is passes over 40 yards. That was 60.2% for Woodman. Victor Johansson, again, the highest there at 80.2%. So Rotherham going long for the majority of the campaign. Hermanson, the lowest percentage there. Leo Walstead, interestingly as well, again, a smaller sample size, 20 games, but also went short the majority of the time.
Yeah, very interesting. You've mentioned a lot of goalkeepers there. I guess a lot of that for me isn't overly surprising. You know, you mentioned obviously Johansson was so busy for Rotherham. The way that Ipswich played, and it worked brilliantly. The amount of goals they scored this season, and I know you won't have that stat, but I know it must be a good number that have actually included Hladke in the build-up play. You know, I think that they've got a really strong identity in terms of how they play, really know their pattern to play well, and you know, saw the benefits of that this season. And yeah, interesting regarding save percentage. You know, I think Brad Collins, credit to him, because it wasn't easy to step in for Ben Wilson, you know, after how solid he was the previous campaign, but certainly stepped in and really secured that position.
Goalkeeper of the season in the championship.
Right, for me, tough one, because I think you've mentioned a lot of names there, and look, Johansson needs a notable mention. Can't be easy playing in a team that are struggling as badly as they are, and I thought he kept his level so high throughout the season. I think Alex Palmer, again, super solid for West Brom, thought he was excellent. Hladke, you've got to give a lot of credit to. Crazy situation, really, to have come up effectively as a number two and then kept that spot for the entire season and get promotion to the Premier League. You know, I thought that was fantastic. I think Hermanson, the fact that, again, we didn't know much before, and how often do you see it where clubs will recruit goalkeepers from abroad and sometimes maybe it doesn't work out, difficult to settle, don't know the level, etc. But yeah, again, to be as consistent as he's been all season, really fit into the way that Leicester want to play. Oh, who do I go for? Who do I go? I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask you first. I'm not going to steal who you say, but I'll be curious to know who you're going to go for.
Okay, well, I also think notable mention for James Beadle and the work that he did helping to keep Sheffield Wednesday in the Championship is worth a mention. Asmir Begovic, for those early performances in particular for QPR, really keeping them in games. I felt Max O'Leary has probably had his best season as a professional this season, but for me, I'm going with Carl Rushworth. Just a solid season again for Rushworth. He's really shown how he's gone, you know, League 2, 40-plus games, League 1, 40-plus games, and now the Championship, 40-plus games. He just seems to step up with every level that he's involved in. And I saw him in the South Wales Derby, and he performed very well in that. I thought he was, yeah, he just looks very, very solid.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that at all. I think he's grown as well as the season's gone on. And I know, obviously, working with Martin Margotson, no doubt that would have helped hugely, you know, to work with one of the very best out there at the moment. So no, I don't disagree with that at all. Yeah, you mentioned James Beadle. I can't say James, that would be by. But you're right, definitely a notable mention to step in when, at the time, they were firmly in the relegation zone, a good number of points outside, and to actually finish the way they did. I think he got 8 clean sheets, I think it was, from, you know, 18, 19 games, something like that. So really, really impressive. I'm going to go for, another mention as well, actually, Ryan Allsopp. I thought, you know, given the way that they've played and they wanted to play, really good fit for Hull. Be interested to see what happens next season, obviously, with the change of manager. But you know what? I am going to go for Alex Palmer. And again, maybe for the fact that every time I did watch a championship game, him playing in, just again, a real air of confidence seems to be growing every year. And I thought he was very, very good.
Excellent. And in League One, 53 goalkeepers used. Clean sheets obviously went to Joe Wildsmith, 20 in 40. The clean sheet club king, Joe Wildsmith. The most saves made were by Jay Lynch at 144. You then had Sam Tickle, Lucas Jensen, Luke Southwood and Viljami Sinisalo. So Fleetwood and Cheltenham both went down. That's Lynch and Southwood. But interestingly, Exeter finished 13th, Wigan 12th, and Lincoln 7th. So a very good season for Lucas Jensen, who also had the highest save percentage at 78%. 135 pens awarded in League One, 29 saved, 4 missed. Of the 9 and 8 faced by Lynch and Southwood, respectively, a few mentions for these two already. 4 were saved by each. Your goalkeeper of the season in League One, Richard.
Oh, you said some names there. And probably just to reiterate the names that you've mentioned, because Jensen, I know that a lot of people are speaking about him at the moment. Yeah, huge, huge season for him. Certainly the way that, obviously, Lincoln weren't able to get the playoffs in the end, but so close. Gave it a really, really good go. Big, big well done to him. I thought Luke Southwood, excellent throughout. Never easy when you're in a team that doesn't score for the first 10 games of the season. Only 1 point after 11 games. So even to be in with a shout in that final game was some achievement. And obviously gutted for him that he got injured in that game. Would have been interesting if he could have seen it out. But the one that I'm going to give it to, because I think, again, coming into it, and big credit to the manager for putting so much faith in him and allowing him to really go for it, was Sam Tickle. I thought that, and again, I do need to give the manager credit, because how rarely do we see this when a manager makes a big decision like that, sticks with him, and he didn't really need to stick with him. It's probably the wrong term, because I thought he was excellent throughout. You know, I watch a lot of the games, but also read a lot of the reports, and you could just sense, even the local paper, you can sense when someone's loved, where even when they have a quiet game, they're giving them an 8, you know. But he was 8s and 9s all season, and certainly everything I see, he's got an absolute cannon of a strike. And yeah, in terms of his shot stopping, I think the way that he plays, the energy he plays with, I've really, really enjoyed watching him this season.
And a new 4-year deal to boot as well for Sam Tickle. So I agree with you on that one. He was my goalkeeper of the season in League 1, 2. And finally in League 2, 64 goalkeepers used. So it's incrementally got higher with each division. Clean sheets, Ben Hinchliffe with 17. Alex Bass, worth a mention, with 16. The most saves made, Corey Adai with 170. Up there for save percentage 2 is Adai. Then had Luke McGee, Nick Townsend, Paul Farman and Alex Cairns. So Crawley went up. Barrow just missed out on the playoffs. Tranmere, Salford and Newport all bottom end there. Save percentage went to Arthur Okonkwo at 79.1%. Corey Adai, I've mentioned, was just below that, 76.3%. Timothy Lotitala, Sam Walker, Tom Booth and Vicente Reyes all in the top 10. Again, a smaller sample size, but all of those goalkeepers performing well in the short spell that they had in the division. 134 pens awarded, 26 saved, 8 missed. Your goalkeeper of the season in League 2, Richard.
Once again, lots of goalkeepers to name. I thought Alex Cairns was super solid for Salford, despite, you know, their poor season. Would have been interesting if he wasn't there, just how bad it could have been for them this season. I thought the Reyes, when he went to Forest Green, was very, very good. You know, ultimately it wasn't enough for them, but I thought it's really put him on the map. I mean, Lotitala, what a record going in at the time he did. That coinciding with the run that they had. Such a shame they couldn't see it through in the playoffs after, you know, I think to that point, I think he'd only had one defeat in the 17 or 18 games, or whatever it was that he'd played. You mentioned Hinchliffe there. Again, just keeps going and going, and what a story for him and for the club. Be really interesting to see how they get on next season. No doubt he'll keep his shirt there, given what he's done. And probably the last one I'll mention, and I am going to give him my goalkeeper of the year, and just more for the story itself, is Corey Adai. Because I know at the start of the season, certainly far from being secured, even in the number one spot, you know, let alone going to do what they've done. But I think the way that, again, he's grown throughout the season, I know there's some stats on him. You mentioned the save percentage there, but I know the expected goals against, I think his number was something ridiculous above what it should have been. And I just think them as a story, Crawley as a story, after how tough it was for them last season to somehow get promotion via the playoffs, and just how good he was as well in the playoff final and the semi-final in particular. Yeah, I'm going to give it to him just for the story that sits behind it.
Yeah, fair. I was close to going controversial for Lotitala, but I think I am going to stick with Ben Hinchliffe. And it is worth a mention too for Sam Walker, I think, who was a shrewd signing by Bradford, bringing him in after Harry Lewis went to Carlisle. He won 50% of the games played at Bradford after coming in. So a successful season, a successful move for Sam Walker, I think. But that is us, Richard. We try to rattle through it as quickly as we possibly could. You are nice and dry now. You've got to get on. You've got to crack on. The window is open. Well, nearly open. It's all kicking off.
It is indeed. Busy time. I always find that this, between now and mid-June, tends to be the busiest time of the window. So many that want to get their squads right for pre-season. Of course, a lot happens during pre-season, even the first couple of weeks of the season all the way to September. But yes, the next month, I've got a feeling, and we might jump on again in a few weeks to do a GKs on their way, because I've got a feeling we will see a lot of goalkeeping movement this summer.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks, Keepers.
Wait!